It's always Captain Crunch, Trix, what did they, all those same cereal. It's all just to the flesh, the lust of the flesh. And all these, it's been years since I've watched some of these sitcoms. And now if I just happen to go, I was like, how is that even allowed now? How is that allowed? They can drop F-bombs. They can show new on TV. When did this happen? Slow descent.
Today's Regaining Lost Ground is from a message titled, False Teachers Say, Do What Feels Good. Pastor Shane preaches from the book of Jude on false teachers and false prophets to help you see them for what they are. From Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
I'm going to party till the day I die, and I hope they serve beer in hell. Lifestyle. And that's where people, they don't understand. We're not coming against one sin over another. But what's happening now is there's this big movement towards sexual immorality in this area of perversion, going after strange flesh. Why isn't there any movement against adultery? Women for adultery. Men for fornication. Walking the streets. It's a spirit of Antichrist rising up in the world of sexual immorality. And a false prophet will avoid this. Google pastors, prominent pastors who think that gay marriage is okay and homosexuality, and a list of false prophets will come up, false teachers. I don't say it arrogantly. I say it with brokenness and with tear-stained pleas to some of these people. One recently who came out was on Oprah, Rob Bell. I don't know if any of you have read his book. He starts questioning the inerrancy of Scripture. He's okay with gay marriage. There's no hell. Francis Chan had to write a book refuting his book. These are false prophets. I don't want to say that, but I have to say it. Because they encourage people in their sin. The person you can watch this to, I was on Fox News a year and a half ago when me and Morgan went to New York. And if you could have saw my face, it was an audio version. It was an hour-long audio. I was stunned. I almost didn't know how to answer, which is kind of hard for me. unusual. But she said, well, Lauren Green on Fox News, if you are helping someone in your church and they come to you, and they say, we're struggling with same-sex attraction. We're convicted. We don't know what to do. He said he would tell them to give into it. Act on it. And I love people enough. I love him enough. I wrote him an email later, and I called him out on these things. This is not good. This is a characteristics of a false prophet. How on God's green earth could you give permission to engage in any type of sexual sin? But they'll often say, God is changing. Or my favorite, the Spirit is revealing new things. Really? Run for cover. Or now, Shane, we have a better understanding of God's nature. We have a deeper truth. The Spirit's taking us in a different direction. Never, never will there be a different direction, a new truth. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. What did we learn last week? If an angel or any other person preaches to you a different gospel, they are to be accursed. Jesus says, woe be to that person who encourages another in sin. Woe to you if you make one of these little ones stumble. It'd be better for you to have never been born, or a millstone hung around your neck and cast into the sea. These are strong statements. It says that everlasting punishment is reserved for these people. So my heart plea is I pray for these people. God, please, because without God awakening them and showing them, it won't happen. Because another characteristic of a false prophet is pride. Unteachable. Reject authority. Reject the authority of God's word. They are proud and unteachable and eager to dispute. And you'll see in our culture, marketing, all the marketing out there is based on feelings. Look at buying that new Lexus. And they have The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, driving it. You'll look like that too. Or what's a Wolverine guy? Hugh Jackman. You'll look like this if you do this. I've told you before, I'm the same age, the same height, and the same weight as that guy, and I do not look like that guy. You laugh. So, but see, the what we want to hear. Nike, just do it. Just do it. Kids can cave into all these things. Look at all these advertisements out there for kids. Especially junk food. Don't get me started. I never see broccoli dipped in hummus on a commercial. Never. It's always Captain Crunch, Trix, all those same cereal. It's all just to the flesh, the lust of the flesh. And all these, it's been years since I've watched some of these sitcoms. And now if I just happen to go, it's like, how is that even allowed now? How is that allowed? They can drop F-bombs. They can show on TV. When did this happen? Slow descent. Slow descent. How quickly? You've heard me say this before. We went from Leave It to Beaver. Remember Leave It to Beaver? Family all around the table. Gee golly, Wally. And I stole the piece of gum. Let's go. We're taking it back, young man. Or the Waltons. These. And now, my Lord. It's just unbelievable. The culture is dead. Their conscience have been seared to the things of God. I don't want to alarm you too much, but there's a big movement I don't think it'll get very far right now, to claim that Christians have a mental disorder. Who has the mental disorder? Rejecting God. Now, I should kind of throw this out. I don't want everybody leaving here that thinking everybody's a false prophet. There are confused pastors. The one I talked about that I know, I would say he's confused. I would not say he's a false prophet here locally. I'm a friend of a few of these people. I have cracks in the armor. I don't have perfect theology. Nobody does. Why like this person? Why? I bet they disagree with this person on the rapture. I bet they disagree with this person on baptism. I bet they disagree with this person on church government. I bet they disagree with this person on gifts of the Spirit. Nobody has perfect theology, but you have to have the essentials down. What are the essentials of the gospel? Those have to be foundational. So the confused pastor or a person who is confused, they aren't always a false teacher. These people are struggling and they have questions. Especially, you're seeing that right now, even with those in their 20s, we've got friends, I'm sure you do, that are Christians, but they're gravitating towards the wrong side. They're gravitating towards what the world says because they're struggling, they're looking for answers. They don't know what the Bible says. So if all these famous actors say it, then it must be true. Right? That's what they're believing. I'm going to get political, so I'm going to stop. Likewise, all these dreamers defile the flesh. So these false teachers, they are dreamers. Have you ever said, you're dreaming? Do you remember that? You're dreaming. You're a dreamer. Well, what is dreaming? Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible says, this shows someone is completely out of touch with the principle of God's kingdom. We've just put a few people in office in the United States of America, in the Senate and Congress, who are dreamers. They are completely out of touch with God's kingdom. And what do these dreamers also do? They submit to authority? No, they reject authority. You see what's going on? And they speak evil of dignitaries, anybody above them. They do not speak well of them. So we go from 30 years ago, whoever, I don't care what Republican, Democrat, Independent, I don't care what you are, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you could never say what we're saying about the president today. Never. They reject any type of authority. I don't want this, for this person's not my authority. They reject it. And then they reject this authority. So who becomes the authority? Themselves. I, what I feel, what I want. So what we have now is a lot of 22-year-olds that are still two. Or 32, and rejecting authority. So be careful. You are on the wrong path if you are rejecting authority. Now, I'm talking about God-given authority, not abusive a type of authority. But if you are rejecting God's word as authoritative, if you're rejecting those in positions that God has put above you, and you're rejecting that, be careful. Because that's a spirit of the Antichrist as well. That's these false people. These false teachers don't sit under any spiritual authority. They often are proclaimers of error on themselves and others. They don't sit underneath any type of authority. So they reject spiritual authority. But guess what? When you reject spiritual authority, you also lack spiritual authority. As soon as I begin to reject this, then I will lack spiritual authority. Sermons won't carry weight. They won't hit the heart. They won't go right to the issues. You can tell there's something dead, there's something off, there's something wrong. You might as well just hire a speaker from Toastmasters. Because once you reject this, because the only way somebody can truly preach with powerful spiritual authority is because they submit and they sit underneath this. So this comes into here, out to there. It's a spiritual authority. So is his word your authority this morning? Think about it. Is his word your authority? The Bible says be doers of the word and not just hearers, or you'll live in deception. It's a very important call to us. And then verse 9, I'll go quickly. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him reviling accusation. I don't know if I misprint it here. Reviling. Yep, there we go. Reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." So this whole context is interesting. God took Moses' body and hid it. Nobody knows where. The Bible says that his eyes were not dim and his natural forces were not abated. He was in a healthy state. And God took him and hid his body. But apparently, Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, he said these things. He didn't bring an accusation against him, and he said, "The Lord rebuke you." So the practical application for us this morning is let the Lord fight your battle. I don't know who that's for, but let the Lord fight your battle. Not yourself, not anger, not a friend. Let the Lord stand and fight for you. And then verse 10, but these speak evil. These people that he's talking about, these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they are corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perish in the rebellion of Korah. Three Old Testament examples. Why is the Old Testament so important? Why should you be reading both? Paul says that these things, these people, these situations in the Old Testament were given to us as an example that we might not lust after evil things like they lusted. So they're to be an example for us. And we'll talk about these three in a minute. But they do whatever they want, whatever they don't even know. Don't those people bother you that you know they don't even know? And they act like they know. They just come in. They're so prideful and arrogant. They have no clue. They just do whatever they want. Whatever they do naturally, like brute beasts. That's what an animal does. An animal just is an animal. So that's what these people are. They're just brute beasts doing whatever they want to do. And they corrupt themselves in doing that. So pride speaks out against God like brute beasts. They have no self-control. So watch out for teachers who tell you self-control doesn't matter. Give in to it. If you have these tendencies, One thing that actually kind of bothered me from about, it's been about a year and 4 months ago, you can find it on YouTube if you put my name with Fox News. That pastor I debated in New York when I flew to New York. We were in the, it was an audio interview, so you can't see the facial expressions, but I still remember mine today. She asked him, what would you tell somebody, a gay couple that comes to you and they're convicted, they're struggling, they need advice? He said, I would tell them to give in to their desires. That's a false prophet. That's a false proclaimer of what is not true. That hurts people. Anytime we tell people, just give in to it. Just give in to it. And false prophets are consistent across the board. They're not really concerned with marriage too much. I'll just give in to it. It's a fling, no big deal. Just and they'll encourage your sin. So if anybody ever speaks the truth and love to you, you should thank them, not get upset. Because what happens first? What do we do first? Pride, like brute beast. Like when I want to tell my dog, get inside. No. Brute beast, they don't want to listen. This is interesting. Historian Edward Gibbon, think about in the 1950s or 60s, he wrote a book talking about the conditions of Rome before Rome fell. He said, number one, there was a rapid increase in divorce and the undermining of the dignity and the sanctity of the home. Hello? That's knocking at the door. Number two, more taxation and the spending of public funds on food and entertainment. Don't worry, I won't keep knocking. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure and sport. Sport becoming every year more and more exciting and brutal. Number four, there is the moral decline of the people. And number five, the decay of religious faith, faith fading into mere form. So he said here, Jude said, they've gone the way of Cain. What was the way of Cain? You know, Cain and Abel. Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable to God. Scripture's not real clear on this, but whatever his sacrifice was, it displeased God. And God said, Cain, why are you angry? Why are you angry? If you did well, I would have rewarded you. But be careful, because sin is crouching. The Old Testament gives this image like a lion crouching, waiting for that door to open. Sin is crouching at the door. Be careful what you open. Be careful what you open. So like the way of Cain, actions that displease God. Are there any actions this morning in this room that are displeasing to God? Listen, with the Bible, you're supposed to preach it and give practical application. That's everything he's talking about. Is there something in our lives that is displeasing God, actions that are displeasing him? Then repent of that this morning. And then he says here, they have run greedily. They have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit. What is that? Well, at your leisure, write down or read Numbers 23. Numbers 20, I believe it's 23 or 21. You should have looked it up. But Numbers 23, this king, Balak, hired Balaam to go and curse the children of Israel. I'll give you riches and riches. Look, this great and mighty nation is coming towards me. Go up on this mountaintop and curse the children of Israel. So Balaam, for profit here, he says, greedy. He said, I'll curse the children of Israel because I'm going to be wealthy. And he began to curse the children of Israel. And what happened? God began to pour forth blessings. Oh, they're going to be a mighty nation. They're going to come in and take over the land, and God's going to multiply them. And the king's like, no, that's not what I paid you for. And he said, I cannot go beyond what the word of the Lord says. And there's a wonderful principle there. in this study of Balaam basically is you cannot curse what God has blessed. That should strengthen many of you this morning. You cannot curse what God has blessed. It's impossible. The enemy cannot curse your marriage. The enemy cannot curse what you're doing in your life. The enemy cannot curse, override, overrule what God is doing in your life by blessing you. But be careful, there's a flip side to this doctrine you've heard me teach on before. You cannot curse what God has blessed unless you remove yourself from that blessed place. Your marriage is blessed. You begin to move outside of that. Here comes, you're opening the door for sin. The children of Israel were blessed. What happened? They cursed themselves. They begin to go after the women of the land and commit sexual immorality. See, it's always linked to that, often. Like brute beast, they curse themselves. If this is all convicting, maybe you need to hear it. And then he mentioned Korah. What was Korah? Korah went against God's authority. Korah said, Moses, who made you ruler over this people? Who made you ruler? And Moses basically said, the ground opened up and swallowed this man. God doesn't mess around. That's one thing you'll get out of the Old Testament, God does not mess around. You can't negotiate. You can't twist his arm. You can't try, okay, well, I'm just not going to talk to you today, God. You better do something. He doesn't care. He's not going to play games. He says, here's my truth. I lay it out before you. Choose life and choose death. It's your choice. So is there any area in your life that you're going against God's authority this morning? Any area that you know? You know what, too? You might want to stop going to those who tell you what you want to hear. You know, right? The woman who wants confirmation that her husband's a jerk and she divorces runs right to the beauty salon. Girlfriend, you need to leave that guy. You like my voice? You can do so much better. You need to take him for half everything he's got. I'm going to tell you what to do to him. And somebody says, go talk to that pastor's wife. Or go talk. No, 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 no. Why? Because they're not going to tell me what I want to hear. We go to people who tell us what we want to hear more than we think, don't we? Continue in sin, we'll go to our friend who's caught in the same sin to validate it. So this morning, if that's you, you need to repent and believe. Say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me. I repent and I believe this morning. And I also want to encourage the believer. Are you bound to sin and trapped in darkness? As a believer, are you bound in sin? Because we see all this rain out here. It's a good analogy. God said, I will pour down water on the thirsty. I will pour down water on the dry and barren land. And it's this picture of this land being receptive. Lord, pour down rain. I'm open. I'm receptive. I'll take in that water. I need it. So God says, I look for that parched soil. I look for that heart that says, pour into me. God, I want more of you. That's who I look for. I don't look for that hard concrete heart. Have you ever watched water go into concrete? It doesn't happen. It goes around. So many of the hearts of people today are so hard. And God says, I will pour out water on those who are thirsty. I will pour out water on that parched soil. But you have to be willing. You have to say, Lord, fill me. Fill me with your spirit. I'm desperate for more of you.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground, an encouragement of God's Word from Pastor Shane Eidelman of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, just west of Palmdale in Southern California. Find out more about the ministry and also stream the Sunday services live at westsidechristianfellowship.org. Look for Pastor Shane's messages on YouTube and follow the ministry on Facebook and Twitter. And hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. Thank you for listening to Regaining Lost Ground. And remember, times change. Truth does not. Touch my lips.